171, our king is marching on. Led in prayer by our brother James Biddle of our local Seattle class to ask the Lord's blessing on Brother Freeman's service. Brother James.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. There's wonderful opportunities to meet together with those of like precious faith and be able to study and to learn, to delve into your truth. Your word. We ask an interest in your blessing for Brother Freeman as he gives us a measure of truth. Help us to learn what we need to learn and to apply it to our lives. Please forgive us where we fall short. Help us to stand in this evil day. In the precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother James and Brother Peter. Once again, we're privileged to have the service of our Brother Freeman Thompson. He has chosen for his subject the words that are faithful Words that are faithful and true. Words that are faithful and true. May the Lord bless your service, Brother Freeman. Thank you,
Brother. Good afternoon, brethren. It is certainly a blessing and a pleasure to be here among those of like precious faith. I bring you the love of our education. Maybe some of you may have missed it. A very dear sister that I recently did the service for last Wednesday, a week ago. I did good back there. I didn't have a problem because she finished the course. So this kind of led me into some of the promises that have been given to you and I. And we know, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and their your ears, for they hear. What a privilege. What a privilege. I have been blessed to be here in your midst today and yesterday. It's been a real blessing. I appreciate the class for the invitation and for the theme text and all of that that they had. It's something that I've looked at. Revelations has been something that I've back and forth, but I really appreciate the different brethren that this morning they brought out very beautiful points. One from a historical perspective, Brother Harry and Brother Ed. But it certainly is a blessing, and I know we've all appreciated that. In Revelations 1:1, and that was mentioned on more than one occasion, and that's the theme here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And in verse 5, I won't quote the whole thing, but it says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful servant. Well, the ones that we're going to focus on, I want to comment on some of the things that I was sitting there writing while the brethren were giving their different five, six, and seven. The messengers. I sat there and I just want to comment on some of the things that they have already, just reiterate some of that. On yesterday, we were blessed with our dear brother Alan and brother with the talk on that disciple that Jesus loved. I find it really interesting where John in the gospel there, in his three epistles, and then Revelation. But here again, in John 1:29 to begin with, and John was faithful. Behold, calling it to your attention, behold the Lamb of God who does what? Who taketh away the sin of the world. Has that happened, brother? No. But we have a promise in Revelation 22:3, very simplistic. There shall be no more curse. These, dear ones, are words that are faithful and true. That ransom for all guarantees that. You and I have been assured that not one word shall return unto him empty, but shall do what? Accomplish that whereto it was sent. 1 Kings 8:56 tells us of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many failed? Not one. Thank you. Not one. And brethren, you and I have been assured that what has been stated is going to be accomplished. Brother John, on yesterday, that pyramid, God's plan in stone. Very beautiful presentation. And keep in mind, brethren, not one word shall return unto him void. He commented also on Daniel's 12. And the book was sealed until the time of the end. But brethren, here we are on this stream of time, and you and I, not talking about the world, but to those who have made a presentation, they have presented their all to the Lord. Yes, those that are walking in the narrow way. Yes. To them it has been given to know the mystery. But to the world of mankind, their darkness still covers the earth in Isaiah 60:2, and gross darkness the people. We see that today, dear brethren. Brother Bushless, on the day of adversity last evening, again, he referred to sometimes there's a possibility of falling into despondency. But here again, brethren, we have been assured by some of those scriptures that we just mentioned. Not one word shall return unto him void. These are the words of God. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. In the covenant, in chapter 6 of Hebrews, tells us what? God made a covenant with Abraham, did he not? And he tells us there in 17 and 18, he changes not. It is impossible for God to lie. It would be totally contrary to his four attributes. What God has promised, dear brethren, is going to come to pass. Brother Harry said it's going to go to the... Well, how did he phrase that? God's plan will not stop. And he says, we know things are going to be fixed. I think that's the way you phrase it. I'm not sure. I'll go back. But here again, you and I have been blessed to be part of that class that have been given the eye to see and the ear to hear. But we're going to deal a little bit shortly with coming out of that most holy. You're still in the quarry. There's a lot of polishing still going on, dear brethren. Nothing can happen until the church is completed. You are running for that prize of the high calling. Again, brethren, 2:10, if we are faithful, for how long? Until death. We'll get that crown of life. Many righteous men long to see what you see. Our Lord was even talking back in those days. See what you see and to hear what you hear and cannot. But again, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But that brings responsibility, brother. We have more responsibility than for the world of mankind. We are on trial now for life or for death. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation contain the messages to the churches, as we've heard this morning. All the intervening chapters between the 3rd and the 20th deal with conflicts between good and evil, and evidently covers the entire period of the gospel dispensation. But yet, in all these presentations, back there then, evil is shown to be triumphant, and the people of the saints of the Most High God are worn out and cry from under the altar. I heard that last evening, etc. Not such a reign of righteousness at this time, surely. But it is at the conclusion of this book of symbols, from the 18th to the 22nd chapters, that the close of this gospel age and the inauguration of the millennial age is pictured, and the triumph of the Lord and of his saints is shown in these chapters. The introduction of that reign of righteousness, Christ's millennial kingdom, is shown, and it's marked by wonderful events connected with our Lord's second advent. One, the glorification of the church. Two, the binding of Satan. Three, the rising of the Son of Righteousness. Four, the blessing of the world, the scattering of its darkness, ignorance, etc. And we know eventually Jeremiah 31:34, eventually they're going to all know him. From how many? From the least unto the greatest. Why? Because the knowledge of God will be in the land, not in heaven. It'll be in the land as the waters cover the great deep, the sea. Not one word, dear brethren, will return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was set. The book of Revelation portrays trouble for the church throughout the gospel age and the triumphant millennial reign at its close. Nothing happens, brethren, until those feet members have finished their course and come out of that most holy. Is that not what happened in the type with Moses and Aaron? When they came out of the most holy, what happened? They came out to do what? How many? All. Bless all the people. Waiting on you, dear brethren. This cannot commence until the church is completed. And you, we are all still in the quarry. We're still being polished and made ready. I guess I must need a lot, because I'm a lot of chiseling, a lot of shaping. But it's all for the good. One cannot enter the heaven. It's through many tribulations that one enters the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not experiencing, having any of these experiences, brethren, need to sit down and take inventory. But again, it's through many tribulations that one enters the kingdom of heaven. The way is hard. We know it. Master told us. That leads to life, and a whole lot of people find it. No, it didn't say that. Few there be that find it. And here again, think about this. Of all the billions of people that have been on this earth, you have been blessed with this opportunity. Don't take it in vain, brethren. You have been blessed to know the mystery. To the world, it has not been given. It's to you. It's so important that we rightly divide the word of truth. I had a tremendous hard time with the scriptures before I came into the truth. I was trying to learn, but I didn't know what Paul had admonished us to rightly or correctly divide the word of truth. Proper time application is so important. Someone, I think it was brother, the last brother, it was brother had mentioned Habakkuk 2:3, write the vision. That seventh messenger. Write the vision and do what to it? Make it plain. Brethren, it's right there in front of us. Those dispensations, rightly dividing it. Words that are faithful and true. In Hebrews 10:23, he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Revelation 21:5, 1-5. I'm not going to read that. John was given a view here of the kingdom. As Paul was given a glimpse of the next dispensation, or as he calls it, the world to come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2-4. 12:2-4. Doubtless these were the same things which John saw afterwards and was permitted to express to the church in symbols, which may only be understood as they become due. And the brethren that have already been here today talking about this, this seventh trumpet is sounding right now. We see the people even out in the world today. They're demanding their rights, even their fancied rights. That trumpet is blowing their boat. John, in the revelation that was given to him by our Lord on the Isle of Patmos, was in a vision carried down through this Christian age and its changing scenes of church and state to the end of the present evil world. In the prophetic vision, again, John saw Satan bound. The process has already started. He's not fully bound, the way I see it. But the process started with our Lord. Christ reigning, and the new heaven and the new earth established. For the former heaven and the former earth, the former heaven and earth were passed away, in volume 1, page 70. Heavens, on occasion, are used symbolically as representing ecclesiastical or spiritual powers, or the spiritual dominion of Christ. Again, in Revelations 21:1. I saw this is John, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. The sea is roaring today, dear brother. But here, this is a picture. They've already come out of that most holy. They're coming out now to bless the whole world of mankind. Let's look at some of the companion scriptures here. That John, he didn't have the New Testament then. He was looking in the Old Testament, in the old scriptures, the same as what we can look at. In Isaiah 65:17, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. This was foretold. John is just, he's giving it to us at this time. He's writing. But here again, the Isaiah had already foretold this. I was wanting to put all of the dates of those, and I didn't do that. Or when the book of Isaiah and all of the different books, but I didn't do it. But here again, in Revelation 21:1, for the first heaven, the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, oh, he is faithful that promised. We are looking for what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Not literally, brethren. We're not saying. I was taught that as a child. That's the way they used to teach, that the world's going to be set on fire. I didn't know any better, but I'm so thankful today that the Lord has blessed my eyes to see this. 2 Peter 3:7. 2 Peter 3:7. But the present heavens and earth by his word are being reserved for fire. Again, not literal. Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Isaiah 66:15. You might want to put that one down. I'm not going to read that one. In Revelations 20:11. 20:11 of Revelation. Here again, John says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heavens fled away, and no place was found for them. This is going to happen. Revelations 21:2 now. Let's take a look at it and some companion scriptures for that. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Has that marriage taken place? No, brother. See, so I'm sitting here. Revelation 21:10 with that one. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Revelation 3:12. And here again, in that to the churches, each time it was to him who overcometh. To him who overcometh. He who hath an ear, let him hear. Well, we know the world of mankind. They don't have the eye to see. They don't have the ear to hear. They're not being judged. Do ye not know in 1 Corinthians 62 that the saints are going to do what? Judge the world. Court's not in session. The world of mankind is not on trial for life or death right now. They're waiting on you to finish your course. He who overcomes, what will he do? I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Again, in 19:7 is where that, let us hear the great company, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. There are how many that go into that, into the holy? We know there are three different groups. You've got the little flock. You've got the great company. And you have those that are going to go into the second death. Those that deny the ransom. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. No charge. We're still dealing with chapter 1. Now we're at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. We know that the church, that 144,000 is the sanctuary that's referenced. Well, I'm going to read some of those. But that, do you not know that ye are the temple of God? We're still tabernacling, some of us. But we're looking to be part of that Melchizedek priesthood. Ye are the temple of God. That's why we're still in the quarry. We're still being polished. We're still being chiseled. But it's all for our good. Nothing happens to God's little ones except God allows it. And if he is allowing it, who are we to question it? He's making us ready. In Exodus 25:8, in the type. And here again to Moses. And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. Well, the temple hasn't been completed yet. There are a number of scriptures that we won't go through. In Leviticus 26:11, here God tells through Moses in the Old Testament, I will make my dwelling among you, the church. He's going to abide in the church. Remember, he went away and he said, the world seeth me no more, but ye will see me. There are certain conditions we have to meet for him to abide in us. We have to keep this clean and keep it with all diligence. And the reason for that is, for out of it are the issues of life. Didn't he invite us way back at the very beginning? My son, give me thine heart. And if you've given it to him, it doesn't belong to you anymore. Ezekiel 37, 26 through 28. Here again, I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Ye are the temple. The temple is waiting to be completed. And if we prove faithful until death, we are part of that. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also would be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel. When my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Waiting to be completed. There are still those that are still walking in the narrow way. But eventually we know there is a highway that's going to be open. But not until that narrow way is no more. But the highway holiness eventually is going to be opened up for all mankind, and they too will have the opportunity to live everlastingly here on this earth. Let's look at verse 4 of chapter 21. And God, this is a very beautiful promise. I used this Wednesday a week ago. I had approximately 80 people there at the funeral. And 98% or 95% were unconsecrated. And we had the husband of Sister Verna ask me to do the promises because he wanted that done out of the friends and relatives there that were at the funeral. And here again, what a beautiful promise. And God will do what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Why? Former things have passed away. Not one word, brethren, shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. What a loving God. I think Brother Harry, in his presentation, he quoted John 3:16. That has so much meaning. God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not be tormented. No, it didn't say that. Shall not perish. What a wonderful God. Brethren, just to know that for the whole world of mankind, eventually, they're going to be blessed with this opportunity to see what you see now and to hear what you hear. But it's by design. It's only a certain class that he is dealing with at this time. Be strong, dear brother. Be strong. I realize the way is hard that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Brother, you have an invitation. You have been invited to be partakers of the divine nature. Another scripture relating to 20, verse 4. What's he going to do? And it was prophesied. He will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And he will remove the reproach of his people from off the earth. Again, for the Lord has spoken. He changes not. It is impossible for God to lie. But these were foretold. John has just given this to us in the Revelation, what has already been spoken of by Isaiah. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a beautiful promise. This was the writer again in Isaiah. We know in in 1 Timothy 2:6, he gave himself a ransom for how many? For all. To be testified in due time. That ransom for all guarantees, that's money in the bank, if I may use that secular term. That is a guarantee. And we are assured that it's going to happen. Well, in Hosea 13:14, he tells us there, I will ransom them from the power of Sheol, from the grave. I will redeem them from death. And it goes on to say, O death, where are your thorns? The question is asked. O Sheol, where is your sting? Well, the former things will have passed away. Death has no control anymore. Why? Because as John tells us in 22:3 of Revelation, a very simplistic term, there shall be no more curse. The curse of death. Well, brethren, if he removes that which is causing the problem, then we don't have the problem anymore. Cause and effect. Isaiah 51:11. You might want to write that one down and check that one out. Revelation 7:17. And chapter 20 of Revelation. Verses 13 and 14. Here again in verse 5 of Revelation 21. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, again calling your attention to something, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The comments, I looked at the comments here. John was to write this matter because the testimony is true, is faithful, as is the one who made the promise. Again, we quoted Hebrews 10:23 earlier. He is faithful that promised. Did he not make the covenant with Abraham? Genesis 12:3. What did he say? The covenant that was made with Abraham, that how many of the families? All the families of the earth are to be, shall be blessed. 18:18 of Genesis. 18:18. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. After that, the feet members finish their course, and they're sitting with our Lord in Mount Zion. What does that tell us in 14:1 of Revelations? And I saw the Lamb on Mount Zion, and how many were with him? 144,000. And in verse 22:18, here again, and in your seed all the nations shall be blessed. Well, the seed of blessing hasn't been finished. That hasn't been completed, dear brethren. How did he describe the seed of blessing? As the stars of the heavens. The earthly phase, two plans of salvation, as I was telling them last Wednesday. Two plans of salvation. The stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore. Well, that's the whole intent. The seed of blessing are the ones who are going to bless all the families of the earth. Let's look at 22. We're going to have to move along. Chapter 22, Revelation, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. A pure river. The pure river represents the blessings of refreshment and restitution, which will issue forth from the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of Messiah. Truth will then flow as a mighty river, refreshing and blessing the whole earth. You know, we hear this at during the holidays, that scripture. Behold, I bring you bad news. No, it didn't say that, did it? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be unto how many? To all people. That doesn't exclude anyone. The wages of sin, as I was telling them at the service, the wages of sin is death. I tell them on occasion that Hitler will have an opportunity. Well, he will. The wages of sin is death. I find it, well, I had the opportunity to be with the funeral, or whatever you call them, director, in writing. I thought I should know better. Understood, it goes back in the same, with the same rhetoric again, and all of that, and I told him that. I thought he looked at me, I just thought I was something wrong with me, I needed it. But the wages, I asked him, I said, well, what are the wages of sin? And he says, death, but that, no one dies, that's why no one is dead. How can there be a resurrection of the dead? Revelation 22:2. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for what? For the healing of the nations. That's not the church. That's the healing of the nations. The church is sitting on the throne. They've made their calling and election sure. Ezekiel 47:12. 47:12. And by the river on its bank, on one side, and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Well, we know in the very beginning that Adam was barred from those trees, was he not? He was warned, if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely live. No, he didn't say that. He said, thou shalt surely die. And here's where the lie comes in. Satan tells Eve over in chapter 3 of Genesis, no, ye shall not surely die. Well, who are we going to believe? I know who I believe. Since Adam lived 930 years, they come up with the same situation. He had to revise it. Satan's a very shrewd adversary, isn't he, brother? He had to revise it. You have something within you that doesn't die. Well, if you go to Ezekiel 18:20, it tells you that the soul that sinned, it shall die. And Isaiah 53, our Lord tells us what? I mean, the writer tells us, Isaiah tells us that Christ poured out his soul unto what? Oh, that's right. And the dead know not. Oh, thank you. But here again, we can see that there are going to be blessings for all. And as we close here, we're going to look at verse 3. And here he uses the word, and there shall no longer be. I didn't look at the obituary column or anything. I didn't have access to the paper this morning. But usually you can look at the obituary column, and it's full at home. Maybe it's not out here. Maybe. But the point is that he's going to, well, here again, we die. Zechariah 14:11, as we close. Verse 9 for context. You can look at that verse 9 for context. I'm going to bypass it. And people will live in it, and there will be no more curse. For Jerusalem will dwell in security. Zechariah 8:13. It will come about that just as you were a curse among the nations, speaking of Israel, that is, O house of Israel, O house of Judah, so I will save you that you may become a blessing. Well, dear brethren, keep this in mind. There once was no curse. Adam disobeyed and the curse came, did it not? And it continues today. But here again we have the promise, and we know that God cannot lie. It is impossible. The curse, there shall be no more curse. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Brother Freeman, I'd like to thank you for calling all those scriptures to mind. How we relish those scriptures when we think about them in our quiet times, and what a comfort it is to have them when we get the opportunity to say a word to someone who needs a bit of cheering up, uplifting, who has a bit of an ear to hear. And no matter how long we've been around the truth, our minds always go back to these scriptures which at first caught our attention and have encouraged us so. Thank you, Brother Freeman, for your ministry to us this past hour. Brother Freeman has chosen hymn number 24, The Year of Jubilee.
Thank you.
Brother Freeman, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, please?
Our most kind and loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee with praise, with thanksgiving, thanking You, Father, for the blessings that we have received here at this convention. We're thankful for the fellowship. Father, we ask Thy continued blessings upon the lessons that are to be given and upon our fellowship. We ask Thy blessings upon Thy dear ones the world over, especially those undergoing special trials and those that are isolated. We pray, Father, for Thy kingdom to come, for Thy will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In the name and merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.